It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. And today on the show, Monday through Friday, making the most of the work week. But what if that meant working Monday through Thursday?
Exactly. The five-day week is less sensible. It's seen as something that is antiquated, that we need to move beyond.
This is economist Juliette Schwer.
And I am the lead researcher for the four-day week trials being organized around the world by Four-Day Week Global.
You may have heard about companies experimenting with a four-day work week, some by trying to pack 40 hours into 4 days. Juliette's model is a bit different.
I should stress that this is a 32-hour work week, not a compressed, not 4 tens, but 4 eights.
But before we talk about working less than 5 days a week, let's go back to a time when workers were trying to work less than 7 days a week. The movement actually started in the U.S.
The U.S. was out front on work time reduction in comparison to other industrialized countries. That really started in the 1870s. We were the first to get to a 6-day week, and then we were the first to get to a 5-day week, which was originally passed in 1938.
Now, over 8 decades later, Juliette thinks American workers are at another breaking point.
Employers have pushed people too hard. They've pared back their staff, and that means more work for the people who remain. They've increased the levels of insecurity that people are operating with, the levels of distress and what we call ill-being rather than well-being have really skyrocketed in many, many labor forces around the globe. When you raise a 4-day week with people today, it feels not only feasible to them, but it feels necessary.
Here's Juliette Schwer on the TED stage.
A growing number of companies are offering a 4-day, 32-hour week, but with 5 days of pay. Sound pretty great? But, is it realistic? Well, actually, yes. In most cases, they are as productive in 4 days as they are in 5. With colleagues, I'm studying 4-day week trials now in progress in the United States and Ireland, the UK, New Zealand, and Australia. We have thousands of employees participating. Now, a key part of the model is that in return for the gift of a day off, people are willing to squeeze all their productivity into 4 days. So while they may be spending less time at work, they're not necessarily doing less work. The secret sauce is work reorganization, cutting out the least productive activities. Meetings are a prime target. Most companies reduce their frequency and length and the number of attendees. People save time by messaging colleagues rather than making phone calls, which inevitably include some social chatting. They shifted personal tasks like doctor's appointments to the off day. And yes, the pace of work at the office does go up. But people have adapted, and they prefer getting their downtime as a whole day off rather than in snippets.
Okay, so you have all of these dozens of companies trying this out. Let's talk about your findings and how you measured whether they were successful or not.
So let me start with the employee data first. We have a large number of well-being outcomes. We ask about stress, burnout, positive emotions, negative emotions, anxiety. So people are just much, much better off. They are also doing things like exercising more and they're sleeping better. Family conflict is reduced. And 97% of them want to continue with the 4-day week. I can also tell you how much it's worth to them financially.
Please.
We ask people, if you were to think about your next job, what would you need in terms of salary changes to go back to a 5-day week? we've got about somewhere between 11 and 13% who say no amount of money would ever induce them to go back. Hmm. We've got a sort of similar number who say they'd need more than a 50% increase. So a huge increase. And then the biggest group are in the sort of 25 to 50% increase. So it's worth a lot to them.
Okay, so that's the employee perspective. What about the employers and their bottom line?
Yeah, employers have been really happy with this. Only a few companies out of all of these scores of companies that have gone through these trials have decided to go back to a five-day week. Hmm. Companies are rating the trial slightly lower than the employees, more like about an 8.5, but still that's a very high rating. We are tracking revenue, which tends to increase over the trial. Mm-hmm. We're seeing absenteeism fall. We're seeing new hires go up, and we're seeing resignations fall. So it's working.
What about jobs that are not based on the amount of work you get done, but are based on people who are paid for showing up?
Yeah, these are what we would call really high-intensity workplaces where there really isn't slack in the work process. But these are many of the professions where you see people burning out. Teachers, doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals, maybe social workers. I don't think you can increase the intensity of their work. I don't think you can squeeze out 20% and have them do as much in 4 days. You don't want to do that. They're already working too intensively. What you want to do is give them a break.
In 2014, the city of Gothenburg in Sweden gave nurses at one of its facilities a six-hour day. As expected, the nurses' health and overall well-being improved, as did productivity and patient care. They hired new staff for the hours that weren't being covered. The striking finding was how much lower sick pay and unemployment benefits helped offset those additional salaries. Now, the Swedish case raises a bigger, more existential question. How much time should we be dedicating to work? In many countries, jobs are getting more, not less demanding. And scarcity thinking, the idea that even rich countries need to tighten their belts, has taken hold. But really, we should be heading in the opposite direction. As digitization and artificial intelligence offer the chance to reduce work time, we should be doubling down on restoring the quality of life and our social fabric, especially in wealthy countries where we already produce enough for everyone to have a good standard of living. And yes, we're going to need government help if we're going to move beyond the innovative companies that already see its virtues. But as the three-day weekend spreads, we can realize everyone deserves a right to free time. The four-day week is a down payment on a new way to live and work.
So what do you want to see happen with this study? Like, what do you think happens next? If you prove that it's doable, that it works for both employees and employers, what's the goal?
So you use the word proof. We would like a stronger standard of proof than we have right now. We would love expanding beyond the kinds of companies that have been most likely to do this now. So yes, this is a disproportionately white-collar sample. So we want to have more companies that are in manufacturing and construction and that have more blue and pink-collar workers. And we would like to see a more diverse labor force in terms of race and ethnicity than we have, and sort of more lower wage workers. We have those, we have hourly workers, we have lower wage workers in this sample, but they're not as many as they are present in the labor forces. I think that every kind of job in the economy is compatible with a four-day work week, but there are sort of different pathways to get there for different kinds of jobs.
One kind of job that's notorious for long hours, low wages, and exhaustion is restaurant work.
in this industry, burnout is real. Burnout is really real for chefs and salaried managers in particular. And when people burn out, you lose really talented, well-trained people.
Howie Keibel manages a group of Italian restaurants in Albuquerque, New Mexico, called Matucci's.
My name's Andrew, I'm taking care of you. Have you been to Matucci's before?
The restaurants hit the mark of making people feel at home, comfortable. It's the kind of place you can spend 2, 3, 4 hours with your friends at.
So a few years ago, Matucci's decided they needed to make a change.
We did an internal measurement of our turnover, and we were at just over 40. Regular casual restaurants, 80% turnover. So we were already doing much better than most restaurants of our caliber, but still, 40% is a lot.
Most were working 5 to 6 days, 60 hours a week.
We were aiming to cut that down to 46 to 48. So we didn't have, you know, the drop in hours that, you know, corporate America would typically experience.
They decided to give the 4-day work week a try, even though they knew it would be tough.
There are going to be nights where managers have to stay super late. Chefs are going to have to prep overtime. But what we wanted to do was guarantee 3 days off a week. And in our industry, that is really rare. We hired one extra manager to handle this entire thing.
And the results were really good.
After our 8-month trial, we had not lost a single manager in 8 months. That's really unusual. Our retention rates were awesome, 100%. Managers would say, well, I finally get to plan like these road trips. New Mexico's a wonderful place within an hour of mountains and desert, and it's gorgeous. So they're taking a lot more road trips, but they've also said, you know, just having that chill time on the couch with my kids, you know, an extra day every week is just made my commitment to my work so much stronger. As it is, we're getting talent from all kinds of other restaurants. We have managers and chefs applying and saying, I want to be a part of what you're doing.
Juliet, would you say that switching to a 4-day work week, yes, it's about rethinking how work gets done, but also it's about getting people to rethink how they use the time when they're not at work?
Absolutely. The 4-day week touches everything. It touches what's happening in the workplace, of course, but it touches our health. It touches our relations with people outside the workplace. It gives people time to be active in their communities and to care for other people. We've also been looking at the climate benefits of a 4-day week, the reduced commuting that's involved.
Yes.
Reduced work time is a very potent climate policy. So it's really something that has a big impact far beyond the workplace. It's a really positive social innovation. And I think that part of why people feel so excited about it now is that it feels feasible in a world in which the problem seems so big. Here's one solution that really matters, that has a big impact, and that it's pretty clear we can institute right now, today.
Juliet Shore is an economist and sociology professor at Boston College. You can see her full talk at TED.com. On the show today, Monday through Friday.